Jump into our lesson this morning. Let's pray as we open this morning. Our Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to gather on Sunday mornings and to sit around tables with each other, to fellowship, to just consider your word, put it before our eyes, think on it, get it in our hearts. And this morning I pray that you would take our lesson and that you would just let it just explode upon our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We just ask you now to speak very personally to us. I pray you bless every family represented in this room. We just thank you, Father, for all of our blessings. We bless your name together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're studying, we're in the middle, a little over halfway, of this book called Virtuous by Nancy Wilson. And we started our study out in a verse out of 1 Peter. And I want us just to start there this morning by letting that verse land on our hearts and give us a good basis just for just jumping into our study. And so we're going to start in 1 Peter 1, verse 5. And Peter says this, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith." Now stop. Faith is where our Christian journey begins. We're saved by faith. We believe the gospel message. And that's only the beginning of our walk with God. Then after that, we are to diligently add things to our life. So let's go back and see what we're to add. Go back with me to the verse. After that, we are to applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, you're going to diligently seek self-control. And in your self-control, you're going to move to perseverance. And in your perseverance, you're going to move to godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly or sisterly kindness. And in your kindness, love. Now, getting saved, as I said, is just the beginning. And then comes the diligent work of you growing in your faith. It comes the diligent work of you growing in what is known as Christ-likeness. And I'll just have to tell you this morning, yes, salvation is a totally free gift. You do nothing to earn it. You come to God, you just throw yourself upon Him, believing in the gospel, and that's the very beginning of your faith, but then the Holy Spirit moves in, and the real work of sanctification, that's a big theological word, it just means God begins making you holy. He produces in us the desire to do this. It's not that you have to make yourself do it. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He gives you the desire to do that. And then, as the desire comes in, you begin working diligently, working out your salvation. Now, where do I get that in the Bible? Well, look at your handout. I get it out of Philippians 2. It's a verse I refer to often. Verse 12 and 13, where there Paul says, "Now listen, you Philippians. Listen, you people living in Brookhaven. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." You work it out. You do it with fear and trembling, and you do it diligently, but know this, it's God who is at work in you. He's giving you the will. He's giving you the desire to work diligently at it. So it's all of God, and it's all of us too. Now let's stop before we go any further in our study, and let's just consider our beautiful Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually the model of every virtue that we've been looking at in our study. Have you ever gone to an art gallery? And, you know, if you go by yourself, it's hard to really appreciate the art that you're looking at. But if you go with a curator in the art gallery and sit there and let them interpret the painting and let them tell you about the painter, and they will help you to appreciate the interpretation and everything that that painter was trying to portray in his work. Well, Jesus stands as our portrait of virtue that we're going to gaze upon. He's abundantly full of every virtue. And if anyone was ever kind, that's the virtue we're going to be talking about today, kindness. If anyone was ever kind, it would certainly be him. So he's our portrait that we're looking at. But then consider this. Look on your handout at Hebrews 1, verse 3. And it says, and he, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. And so we look at the Lord Jesus. He's easy to look at because he's flesh, he's blood. We can read about him in the Gospels. And then we say, well, what is God like? Well, if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus, because he's the exact representation of God. So Jesus is the portrait of kindness, but God is too. God is kind. That is his nature. Listen to this. It says in the Psalms, he's abundant in loving kindness. In Psalm 31, it says his kindness is marvelous. In Psalm 117, it says his kindness is merciful. And think about this. His kindness goes out even to those who do not even appreciate it or understand it, or who even may hate him. And you and I, all of us, are recipients of the kindness of God. Go to Romans 5, verse 8, and just consider with me what God did. It said, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What undeserved kindness has been shown to us. I love the virtue of kindness. I want to be known as a kind person. Do you? I want my life to be full of kindness. Now, being virtuous is really a Christian concept, because way back when the New Testament was being written, it was a Greek world. And way back in that time, and even in our time today, kindness would have been considered a sign of weakness. You've heard of Aristotle, haven't you? A very wise writer of the day, a Greek philosopher. Let me share with you what he said. He said that the greatest Greek virtue was to refuse to tolerate any insult, any injury, and being ready to strike back at any hurt. And he said that living that way was virtuous. If you were wronged, the virtuous thing for you to do, according to Aristotle, would be to retaliate. Show what a strong man you could be. Be full of vengeance. Strike back. And we used to be like that before we came to Christ, didn't we? But then Jesus came in our lives, and Jesus changes everything. He gave us a new heart. It's a heart of Christ. It's a heart of love. It's a heart of kindness. And we see that love does not strike back. Instead, love is kind. Now, that was a concept that was brand new to the Greeks. The Christian was one who could be hurt, he could be insulted, he could be injured, and even when he was in a position where he could actually take revenge, he would refuse to take revenge. We feel the spirit of it in Ephesians 4. Look at that with me on your handout. Paul is begging the Christians who were living in the city of Ephesus. This is what he's begging them to do. He says, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. I mean, we get saved and the Spirit of God moves in and the Spirit of God changes our hearts and He makes us to come alive. He fills us. He gives us the desire and the power to follow after Christ. And it's really just the coolest thing. I'm never going to get over it. And so Paul is calling those in Ephesus and he's calling us here in Brookhaven to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. In other words, walk in kindness. Be full of kindness. Now look at those verses again to see what that walk involves. Go back to those verses. It's going to involve, on your part, humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And ladies, that sums up the virtue we're looking at this morning. It's the virtue of kindness. Now let's write down some thoughts about kindness together. First of all, write this down. It is the spirit which never retaliates. It's the spirit which never retaliates. Now I will check spelling on that one. Here's another thought. It's an action that we take for someone else that they need done. I see something someone needs, and I do it. That's kindness. Look at the next statement. To be kind is to be sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, generous, courteous, affectionate. That's according to Webster's definition. Circle the one that you think you're the strongest in, that you see in your own heart. Which one is the one you're the strongest in? And then think about this. The word kindness, the root word, comes from the same word where we get our word kin. Like next of kin. Kinship. Kinfolk. So let's write this down. To be kind, then, has the feel of this, to treat someone like family. To treat someone like family. And then add this, kindness is kind even to its enemies. Even to its enemies. Because look at Luke 6 there, Jesus is talking to those who are following him, and he says, now listen, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. How are you at being kind? What about how you treat those who are not kind to you? I mean, Teresa, does God really expect me to be kind to her after what she did to me? Well, yes, He does. Yes, He does. Look at Ephesians 4:32 with me. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So let's write this down. Kindness, then, is something that we must put on. We must choose to put it on. Just like I would go to my closet, pull out a coat, and choose to put that coat on. And this concept of what, I liked what Nancy said in her book. She says this concept of kindness, she calls it gospel kindness. Gospel kindness. What is gospel kindness? Well, write this down. It's the fact that we are to pray that God will bless our enemies. That's not easy to do. God, would you please bless my enemies? And then add this, we are to return good for evil. That's gospel kindness. Only God can give you the power to do this. Now, God gives us commands that are tough in Scripture. And then God gives us the power to obey. And when we run out of love and we run out of kindness, then what do, Teresa? Well, write it down. We run to God and we ask Him to give us fresh supplies. His kindness never runs out. And it is available to us. We want to be channels of that kindness. Now I want to talk about kindness in this vein. Kindness has a very close cousin. And that cousin is called patience. And let's go to a verse. You'll see these together in Scripture over and over. And I want us to consider 1 Corinthians 13:4. Look at that verse with me. It says there, love is patient, love is kind. They go together. Now, write this down. Patience is the attitude. And kindness is the action. I'm patient in my heart. I'm long-suffering with that person. I'm long-fused. And then kindness comes right along with that patience and does an action that is good. That word patience in the New Testament, it is a Greek word that speaks of patience with people. Not so much patience with circumstances or events, but particularly with you being patient with people. So write this about down on your handout. Patience endures the injuries of others, and kindness pays them back with good deeds. Patience will say this, I will take anything from my enemies. I will endure. And then kindness comes right alongside that and says, I'll give anything to meet my enemies' needs. That is kindness. Here's another thought about kindness as we consider it together. The root word in the Greek is the word useful. That's interesting. It's the word useful. It's living your life to benefit others. How are you doing in the area of kindness as we're talking about it? It's using yourself on others. And then write this down. It is an action word. It's a doing word. And when Jesus commanded us to love our enemies, He wasn't meaning, I want you to sit over there in a chair and feel real good about them. He was simply saying, love them by doing good things for them. Be kind. Go to Romans 12:10. There it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Now, I don't know about your family, but many of you have a very close, affectionate family. And if you do, you understand that verse. Maybe it's hard for you to grasp this concept because you don't have a family that has that kind of love. But in Christ, we all are in the same family. And we're to be like this one big, affectionate family, being kind to each other. That's the picture that we want to get in our minds. What does kindness do? Well, let's write down some things. First of all, kindness kindness will show kindness to strangers through hospitality. So put that down. Hospitality. Look at Mark 9:41. Jesus says, therefore, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Kindness will express itself through hospitality. Here's number two. It will express itself in kind words. Now, I love Proverbs 31:26. Let this speak to you this morning. Look at it with me. This awesome woman of Proverbs 31, this godly woman, look what she does. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now notice there that kindness is spoken of as a law. A law. That means that kindness is ruling and governing and guiding every one of her words and her actions. It's something that expresses compassion, sympathy, affection, encouragement, or friendliness. Here's another thing kindness does. It expresses itself not only in kind words, but also in kind actions. So write that down. You see, a kind action goes beyond duty. It gives more than it is required. Kindness goes the extra mile. Are you an extra mile Christian? I mean, do you display compassion visibly in your life with what you do? Do you take a meal, for example? Do you give a ride? Do you visit? Do you write a note? Do you babysit the kids? Do you clean up the mess? Do you show up to help? These are just little ways that you can be kind. There are millions of ways to express kindness. Well, Teresa, what keeps me from being kind? Well, let me just tell you a few things. Number one, bitterness. Bitterness and resentment will choke out kindness. If you're going to be a person that keeps a careful record of wrongs that have been done to you, fresh in your mind, playing the tape over and rehearsing them over and over to yourself, then you will not be kind. It will choke out kindness. It will make you think in your heart, well, that person doesn't deserve to be receive my kindness. If I'm going to base kindness on who deserves it, that means nobody deserves my kindness, right? Remember this and it will help you. God died for us when? While we were yet sinners. His kindness reached us when we were the most undeserving of it. And this is to be our standard for being kind to others. Let's be generous in our compassion. Let's get the picture in our mind. God, I want to be like Niagara Falls. I don't want to be like that little trickly faucet in my laundry room. What else will hinder kindness? Well, here comes another one. Selfishness. You know, if I'm going to live my life just for me, center my life on myself, I'm going to be way too busy to be kind to other people. You know, I'm just going to be preoccupied with my own schedule. I'm going to have the attitude, well, I just can't be bothered with the needs of others right now. I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. And here's another thought of something that will hinder kindness. It would be, I put it this way, practicing kindness with a price tag. Practicing kindness with a price tag. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, if you're kind to me, then I'll be kind to you. I'm going to reciprocate only to people who are kind to me. That kindness is really a stingy kindness. And I'll only be kind if you deserve it or if I think you've earned it. Aren't you glad that God lavishes kindness out to those who don't deserve it? Here's another thing that will hinder kindness, and it's just plain old laziness. Put that down. I mean, you know what? I'm living my life, and I see the opportunity out there to be kind. And remember, it's an action word. I can do something to bless another person, but oh well, somebody else can do it. I hope somebody else sees that and meets that need. I simply just don't want to do it for whatever reason. I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm apathetic. Maybe I just don't have the energy. I see the need, but I lose the opportunity, and I miss a blessing. We should be all about, in our Christian living, listen to me, putting up our spiritual antennas, training ourselves to be alert to others, to their needs, for opportunities to be kind. Have you ever just thought about getting up in the morning and thinking, I want to be kind today. Who can I be kind to? Kind is an action word. Who can I bless with an action today. Just sit before God. Ask Him, God, who can I bless? You know what God will do? He'll bring someone to your mind. I want to challenge you to do that. And let's let it begin right in our families. Are you kind to your children? Do your children sense a tenderness in you? Do you go out of your way to do kind things for them? Do you go the second mile, or are you irritable? Are you short? Do you bark at your children? Are you too busy to be bothered? Are you willing to make sacrifices to be helpful and to be kind? And what about your husband? Are you kind to each other? I mean, really kind. And I'm studying this week, and it's a busy week. And I find myself, I'm barking at Bill. Bill! And I'm like, oh, I got to teach you a Sunday school lesson. I'm sorry, Bill. I've got to be kind. What can I do that would be a blessing to him? I mean, I think this lesson is so practical. Love is kind. It heals wounds. It waits patiently. It endures anything. It does not retaliate. It only will give kindness in return. Now, I've shared this illustration before with you, but I want to share it again because it's good, and some of you may not have heard it. But kindness is like this illustration of two men who were going up a mountain, and they were on a very, very narrow trail, and as they're climbing this steep mountain, one's coming down, one's going up, and they come to meet each other right at a place where the path is a foot wide. On one side is just the mountain straight up. On the other side of the trail, a sheer drop. And they're trying to get around each other. And so they meet head on, and the problem has got to be solved, and they try to get around each other one way, it doesn't work. They try another way, it doesn't work. And then one of them does something that gives us a picture of kindness. He lays flat on the trail, and the other hiker walks right on top of him. And that is love that is kind. It doesn't mind getting walked on if it benefits someone else. Now let's close our thoughts this morning out of Titus 3. And Paul says here to Titus, he says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy and hating one another." That's what our lives looked like before we came to Christ. I can remember being there. Can you? But, I love this but, when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. He did it because He was kind. And He didn't do it on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. He did it according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then He says this, "This is a trustworthy statement." And that, my friend, is the gospel. It's the good news. When we were foolish and disobedient and enslaved to various lusts, deceived, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, God sent His kindness. He sent His Son. The gospel is the kindness of God on display in the world. He saves us by mercy. He washes us. He cleanses us. He renews us. He pours out His Spirit on us. He makes us righteous freely by His grace. He makes us heirs. He gives us hope of eternal life. And then Paul says, and this is a trustworthy statement. You can take it to the bank. This is something you can build your life on. Now, are you glad you were here this morning? Did you need this lesson? Do you want the kindness of God to be like Niagara Falls flowing through you? Let's go out this morning from this place and let's be wise women and let's be kind women and let's consider the kindness that is displayed to us through Christ. You know, I think about all that God has done for me. I'm never going to get over it. I'm so very thankful for what he's done. And that serves as a real motivation for me to be kind to others. I want to move out and be an obedient daughter of the King in kindness. Now, we've got a few minutes left. Let's open our books. Let's consider the questions at the end of the chapter. At your small groups, if you've got a small table, you can move to another one. And then I'll come back and close us in prayer.